Welcome to Leaders and Legends of Online Learning, a podcast dedicated to the experts. Thank you for listening. Each episode, we'll be learning from the world's leading thinkers and practitioners in online learning and linking to ideas relevant to online teaching, working with online learners, and digital education. You can listen to the experts and check their profiles and link to some of their work on our website, www.onlinelearninglegends.com. I'm Mark Nichols, the interviewer in this episode. You'll meet George Ubachs in this episode. George is Managing Director for EADTU, the European Association of Distance Teaching Universities, responsible for significant scholarship and insight related to innovation in online and distance teaching. The EADTU's wide volume of contemporary reports and practice insights are freely available to the global community. George is also the ICDE focal point on quality from Europe. This podcast is sponsored by the International Council for Open and Distance Education, ICDE, the leading global membership organization working towards bringing inclusive, quality education to all. By joining the ICDE global network of flexible and distance learning, you can help transform the world through inclusive education. Become a member or find out more by visiting www.icde.org. I'm talking with George Ubachs, Managing Director for EADTU, the European Association of Distance Teaching Universities. The EADTU is Europe's leading institutional association for online, open, and distance higher education, capably led by George, as it seeks to promote excellence and innovation across micro-credentials, MOOCs, quality assurance, and multiple additional activities. George, it's great to be talking with you.
Thanks for the invitation and being here.
Excellent. George, can we start with a brief overview of your career and publications?
My career started as at EADTU almost 25 years ago, but before I've been working as consultant in European policies and European grants for 10 years, and before I joined EADTU, and then since EADTU, I'm fully focused on higher education and more specifically online and distance education.
Great. And before that, what was your background before joining EADTU?
Yeah, I studied public administration in Leiden and Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and I had a major in international collaboration, European integration, and for that I had an internship at the European Institute of Public Administration in Maastricht, and that was also my first time I worked really within European institutions and visited also Brussels more frequently, like I still do.
Great. Now, distance teaching, of course, is quite a specialized area. No doubt you would have come across many of the theories of the likes of Otto Peters, Borj Holmberg, and others. How was your learning journey across those 25 years? Have you studied formally in distance education? Have you read widely?
No, I got acquainted with distance education by joining EADTU at the moment. My focus was on European collaboration because that was my background and policymaking. The topic before that was more on social economic development. But coming into online and distance education was at that time new to me. But being part of all the meetings and writing project applications and so on, I really got into the field of online education. And I had, together with the members and experts within EADTU, it was quite easy to get into the topic.
Excellent. Can we talk a little bit about some of those reports and work that EADTU has done? Because it's quite a significant amount of work on the website. You've got the Excellence Projects. You've got the university reports as well. Can you tell us a bit about some of the work of EADTU and some of the wonderful research that's been taking place there?
Yeah, indeed. So one of our tasks of EADTU is to publish on latest developments and innovations in higher education. And over the years, we had many task forces and projects that resulted in guidelines, but also real publications like in Springer we did in 23 on the quality assurance systems for digital higher education in Europe, but before also on topics like the micro-credentials, our common micro-credential framework, and as you mentioned, the excellence instrument on quality assessment for e-learning, a benchmarking approach. And these are a few of our priority topics over the past for the past decade.
Mm-hmm. And you've also got the annual university reports too, haven't you? The envisioning report.
Yeah. So we what mostly happens when you have a European funded project is that at the end of a 2-3 year project, the results are often guidelines or reports, and then they end up on the shelf. And we want to build communities within EDTU that continue the work that was started within the projects. And therefore, we established Empower. And Empower is a framework under which we have more than 100 experts who are part of our projects. And they are divided by fields of expertise. We have 15 fields of expertise, from e-assessment to course design, generative AI, and so all that has an effect or supports online education. And from them, we ask every year to contribute to our envisioning report on latest developments and innovations. So that is what our yearly publication is about.
Mm. So it's now in its seventh report, isn't it? I think from 2023. So there'll be an eighth one coming through soon.
Yeah, indeed. There is a new coming publication, I believe, in June now. Yeah, it will be the seventh or maybe even the eighth. I don't know, but it's it promises to be again covering a lot of new innovations that are reflecting what is happening within our member universities.
Mm. So across those 8 years, or would be 8 this year, what are some of the things that you've seen take place over that time? I mean, there must have been quite a bit of change, even just across the last decade, reflected in those reports. What are some of the highlights?
Yeah, what you see is that almost on a yearly basis we have new developments to report on, and that makes also my work at EDTU so interesting. Over the past 22 years that I'm there, the agenda is shifting always. And what we've seen in the past was with the open education resources, then the MOOCs, the mobility schemes, then the further internationalization with the European University Alliances, and now very much on the micro credentials, and retention is very much under attention, and personalization will be the next big topic that we will address.
It sounds like a lot to juggle. I don't envy anyone in the university sector at the moment having to deal with all of this innovation and not only keeping up with the latest things, but also keeping the previous year's worth of innovations happening. Do you see universities doing that well?
Yes, very much so. So on the one hand, we always jump on new topics, new developments that are in the interest of our members or higher education in general. But The topics that we covered like 3 to 5 years ago are still relevant and still developing. So that is why we cover that and empower. We keep these communities going, and in the meantime, start new expert pools on new developments. And we fully rely on the expertise within the membership, because we cover the whole of Europe. And really, the members of EDTU are open distance teaching universities, and those are really the innovators in education, because they're really looking into the teaching models and new developments in that by the support of online education.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like your job is continuously broadening, given all of the different innovations that are taking place. So what are some of the themes and ideas that your work has provided through EADTU that you sense are still pertinent today? What would you like to draw attention to?
Well, you on all these topics, you need to be very patient, because we start with topics like virtual mobility already in 2006, and it really only really got mainstream since 2015 or so. But we already conceptualized the whole model of virtual mobility by then, envisioning an actually a complete virtual Erasmus program in parallel to physical Erasmus. And this topic really caught on when the European University Alliances started a few years ago. Then it really became more mainstream. When I look in quality assurance and online education, we started 2005 with the first work on the excellence. We selected several experts from our European universities, and we are now already at our third edition, working on our fourth edition, because the manual of the excellence on quality in online education is evolving, as we need to capture all the latest innovations in this manual. There's a reference manual for universities who want to further innovate and enhance their education by online and blended education, and therefore need to be up to date. And we are listing at the moment new developments that need to be captured in the fourth edition. And thirdly, micro-credentials. We already sat at the table of the European Commission in 2017 on the development of micro-credentials, that they would become an important new development, foreseeing actually becoming a new qualification next to the Bachelor, Master and the PhD, to develop a new qualification for continuing education, because that was actually missing. So that's how we brought it to the European Commission. They installed this this Commissioner's Consultation Group for micro-credentials then, of which I was part of. But in the end, it was more watered down to an overall model on which that was covered in the Council recommendation on micro-credentials, for which the countries are now looking into to more specify it. But we really saw this as an innovation by introducing a new qualification for continuing education.
Mm-hmm. So some very important advocacy work that EADTU does with the European Commission as well, helping further the agenda for distance teaching.
Yeah, indeed. We are very often invited, luckily, at the Commission's table to think along of late new developments in this field of innovating higher education.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So it's now coming up to mid-2024. What are the observations about online learning and education at the present time? I'm sure there's a lot to reflect on and a lot to draw from in terms of what EADTU has been researching and reporting. So I'm really looking forward to your answer to this question.
So online education is a specific field in education that it offers more flexibility and accessibility. Mm. It also adds by offering virtual mobility and personalization of education. So it serves a wider group in education and also promotes inclusion in that sense. So these are topics that are really relevant now at this moment. So there's also an important societal impact of what the open universities provide in education. Online and distance education further, like I said, supported most prominent innovations in the past, like the MOOCs, the micro-credentials, but now also the use of generative AI and personalization. And in all, we want to see them as opportunities. Of course, there are challenges linked with that, but we always approach them as opportunities. And in that sense, EADTU can help universities in the sense that we want to prevent that everybody's discussing this in isolation in their own universities, but we bring the topics to the European table, so to say, and discuss it together and prevent that all are inventing the same or separately or not very consistent. So we have coordinated actions in Europe to respond to these new developments and find an answer to these mostly see as opportunities. But of course, also like with online assessment, that was a topic arising during COVID. All universities challenged by online assessment. We set up a task force to capture what is happening within our membership on online assessment. And it's not the case that all members have an answer to that. It was a very explorative task force. But by mapping what the challenges are, what the different approaches are, and related good practices, we were able to make a publication on that and a website that supports universities European-wide or worldwide. This is all open source.
Yeah.
And also by sharing challenges, people feel supported, professionals feel supported, and find each other in looking for solutions. Mm-hmm. So I think the task forces that we do on these emerging developments are as important as the more solid 3-year projects that we do.
Mm, absolutely. I'm curious too, given now that more and more universities are embarking in online education, more would see themselves potentially as becoming distance teaching universities. Have you seen a change in membership across EADTU over the past few years?
Well, we have seen a change in applications for membership because we got more applications from conventional universities operating also with online education.
Yeah.
But our membership of EADTU is limited to leading universities in online and distance education per country. So we only have one maximum 2 members per country. So in that sense, our membership didn't change in that sense, but we see it, the interest is growing by conventional universities. But we have also some universities in our membership that are coming from outside Europe, because our research, our work is wider interest than Europe only. So we also have a member from TELUC and Loja and Ecuador, because they are very interested in the work that we do in Europe.
Mm, mm, fantastic. Yeah. George, the research you'd most like to see. So if you opened up a journal, found the perfect article that you think just really strikes you, where you're most interested at the moment, what would that journal article be about?
Well, that would certainly be about personalization of education, because we are planning to have a new task force starting with our members after summer about personalization of education. We foresee this as the next development, a logical development after we covered with our task force the generative AI. It's about the opportunities AI and big data offers to university to enhance education by personalization, not only on content, but also on format, and see what fits a student best. Hmm. Not looking in categories of students, like this is a student who has a job, who has a family, so we provide this student with a certain model of education. No, we look from the data how students then operate, how they function best in the educational system, and adapt the educational offer specifically to that student. Hmm. So it's really personalized, and that is what we're going to further explore from next after the summer. Yeah.
Mm, okay, I'm interested in picking up on that theme of personalization, because it is a term that's been used quite frequently recently. Have you seen it done well, and what does it actually look like from a student perspective?
Well, we have seen some examples within our membership. I think the book in Catalonia is most advanced in that sense. There's also some research going on within the membership. It is something that we believe students would very much appreciate within the limits of privacy, of course, on what is also at stake in that sense.
Yeah.
But it is all for the purpose of ensuring that students are successfully finishing their study and get the most out of their study efforts. So it's really in the benefit of the student, but we really have to explain well how that functions, but also what the limitations are. It's not, of course, that you can personalize from 200,000 students to the individual level, but there are some learning pathways that you can identify in this process that fits the persons, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So presumably the course descriptors, the assessments might remain similar, but still the pathway is personalized to the learner. What sort of things would serve as the variables for that personalization?
Yeah, it's mostly the parts like visual learning or theoretical learning, or having more flexibility or less flexibility. So there are several variables there, group work or individual work, the student engagement in that sense, and retention are important topics. If you're asking me about what research would interest you at the moment most, that is related to personalization and getting students involved and engaged, is also the research on retention. And as you know, the challenge for open distance teaching universities is that retention is more difficult in that sense, that students are all online at a distance. They are part of a bigger community than a conventional university. Flexibility helps them, of course, but is also offering escapes of dropping out. And so there are many reasons also in the target group itself that they are in a position of work and study balance, which is challenging. Mm-hmm. So there are several reasons why retention needs to be emphasized within our universities, and therefore research in that sense is also very important to us.
Mm-hmm. And I dare say the retention and personalization would likely complement one another, wouldn't they, to support learners to take a more flexible approach?
Yeah, the intervention that we very recently, 2 weeks ago, we launched a new publication on retention. for open distance teaching. And we follow there the life cycle of a student, in which we see stages of intervention or preparing students to make conscious choices of education and being prepared to start education online. Mm. So I recommend very much this latest report that can be found on our website. Mm. And this was developed by 10 of our university's experts in that field, including several good practices used by our universities on retention.
Excellent. I want to return again to the thought that many conventional teaching universities are now very interested in the sort of innovation coming through from EADTU. I suspect that's a trend that's likely to continue as more and more universities see the benefit of technology and what it might bring in terms of more flexibility, more of the open ideas that perhaps have underpinned open universities in the past. How do you see that working out going forward? Because it would seem that open universities might be losing some of their uniqueness as more conventional universities seek to become open themselves. I'm just interested in your thoughts on that and your observations from the EADTU perspective.
Yeah, no, certainly. There is a huge interest in the expertise of offering online distance education by conventional universities. And our membership is happy to share that we do that in all our publications. They're all open source. We organize open events. So the sharing of expertise is really welcomed. It shows also leadership on the topic by our members, and we promote that. Then expertise in online and distance education does not mean that all conventional universities also immediately have an expertise on continuing education, and that is what our members represent as well. So most conventional universities use online digital education for their campus-based students, well, students up to 25 years. Mm. But also there, our members have decades of experience and expertise and are challenged to further innovate and keep leadership on the topic. And that is what we do together within our membership. And we are, like I said, we are happy to share all that expertise. And we do that also via the European Digital Education Hub. It's a hub funded by the European Commission, on which we, as EDTU, are a task leader on clinics and mentorships. These are free sessions that we offer to anyone who is interested in the digital transformation. Mm. And people can apply for expertise as well as looking at a challenge with an expert from within our membership, or more specifically within our Empower framework. Mm. Yeah, but it's true that that more are going online, and it also helps the acceptance of online education. In that sense, it is also contributing to the work of our members, and that online education becomes more acceptable.
Mm-hmm. It's a very broad and generous series of resources you've got there. It's like a treasure trove, I think, for open distance learning theorists, writers, anyone keen to help the university advance in that area. So very, very grateful for the work that EADTU does. I think it's a real credit that the resources are so rich, so scholarly, but also so freely available. So I think congratulations to EADTU on some brilliant work.
Thanks. Yeah.
Finally, George, two people you'd recommend as leaders or legends of online learning, one whose work or perspective is significantly influencing you now, and one who you think otherwise might have an important perspective to share.
I think there are always new developments popping up, and we have, of course, experts in all these fields, but I really want to bring forward two, three people actually that have contributed for the past two decades almost to the excellence instrument, benchmarking instrument for quality in online education, because they capture all the latest innovations that are happening within related to online education. Mm. And in that sense, I would like to bring forward, first of all, Angeles Sanchez from UNED. She is the UNESCO chair in digital education. Mm-hmm. And next to her, we have John Roswell and Karen Keir from the Open University UK, who have been contributors to the Excellence Instrument since 2005. And so the three of them are very important to our work, and we are very grateful to their contributions to our Accent instrument.
Mm, excellent. Three very good choices there. George, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. It's wonderful to have access to the EADTU resources. Thank you, too, for the regular updates. It's not like your scholarship is going stale in any way. You're continuously refreshing it, making sure that it reflects the latest ideas. And thank you so much for being a leader and legend of online learning.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You can learn more about George and his work from our website. That concludes this episode. Be sure to go to our website, www.onlinelearninglegends.com, to follow up on this episode's guest. You'll also find links to others whose ideas continue to inspire and teach online learning professionals, and you can subscribe to future interviews. If you know of a leader or legend we've not yet talked to, please do drop us a line at onlinelearninglegends@gmail.com.